This is the WOKV Spotlight on 104.5 WOKV.
It's 9-11 on the Tuesday edition of Jacksonville's Morning News. And as we mentioned off the top, as one of the three big things you need to know, the four finalists who are competing to be the next superintendent of schools in St. John's County are in town for their in-person interviews as the process, very deliberate, of selecting a new school superintendent continues and is nearing completion. After today, the community will have a chance to meet and greet with each of these four candidates, and then ultimately the school board will make its decision, because the current superintendent, Tim Forson, is on his way out, and he's not going to extend that retirement, right? You are ready to go, as you're wearing a big smile on your face, like, I am ready for this to end, I would imagine.
I am. You know, I retired once already, and it only lasted about 2 months, at which time I came back. It was the time of the transition. Dr. Joyner was retiring as superintendent and had the opportunity to come in and serve. So great honor, just an incredible honor for someone who's grown up in the community to have the opportunity to serve as superintendent.
What challenges will the incoming superintendent face, and the four finalists who are there and getting questioned right now? What do you think the questions are focused on from the school board members and the community at large?
Yeah, I think there's probably two or three common challenges that come to mind. The first one, of course, is growth, is dealing with the pace of growth in St. John's County, getting schools built, getting teachers hired, continuing to expand your pool of leadership as well, school leadership. And then the other piece is the landscape to public education in Florida has changed quite a bit in the last 2 to 3 years. You know, we now operate with universal vouchers, so mom and dad can decide where they want their child to go. So I think school districts, traditional school districts, have to respond to that and have to market themselves, have to understand that there is more mobility today than ever before in students. And so you have to have a system that can succeed in that environment.
How did you and how do education leaders in our community ensure that they've got the right systems in place so it doesn't feel like they're constantly treading water with all the change?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great analogy. Is it does feel like you're treading water sometimes, because the change comes really faster than you would like it to come from a legislative perspective. Is that you're given new laws, new statutes to abide by. They can be safety related, which are really good statutes, good laws, but it does require money, time, and resources to make that happen. Sometimes it is in regard to what we have now is the choice that parents have and the ability to move from school to school or system to system. So all of those things are manageable and doable. But it sometimes, I think, from a superintendent or even a school leader perspective, it can take you off your game if you're not careful. Instead of, well, you know, what's our mission? Our mission is to provide the best learning opportunity for children, period. And so the children that are in our system, we've got to do the very best to give them the right resources and the right teacher in front of them every day.
Why do you still believe in public schools?
Oh, I think the statistic is somewhere around 85% of all students in the state of Florida attend traditional public schools. That's why I believe in it. It is the foundation of the success of the state and of the nation long term, and it has been for many years. I believe that it is the opportunity for everyone to attend their community school, to where schools aren't separate from the community. They're a part of it, and I think that's something we believe in, and that connection really stays in place through that traditional public education environment, the public schools.
How many new schools did you open as leader, as the superintendent? You were going through in your head, like, how many ribbon cuttings have you been to?
Yeah, it's been about a school a year. You know, this is I had full 8 years of superintendent in December, so I'm kind of 8.5 years of superintendent, and we've opened about 8 schools during that time. We have one that will open this coming year and 2 the following year. So there are 3 schools under construction right now. And what people sometimes don't recognize is those schools are being built for kids that are already here. Sometimes we think, well, you're trying to project out. You really can't. The money doesn't come until the students are here. And so you're trying to build for students that are really already in place in the system.
Do you look at the recent accomplishment as one of your biggest lasting accomplishments, the tax increase and being able to extend the tax that was in place to ensure that the building of new schools can sustain themselves into the future?
Yeah, I don't know that it's my accomplishment, but it is certainly an honor to be in a community that voted for the renewal of the sales tax that enables those schools to be built. I mean, that's one of the three key funding sources to build schools. And then in this past election, the $1 million increase that is going to enable our employees to see the benefits in their salaries and help us hopefully retain the best that we can possibly have.
You know, I want to go back to the public school question because we've known for a number of years, whether it's through the actual firm data, but also the perception, that St. John's is among the best, if not the best school district in the state. And yet you believe in public schools. Is it a competition to try to draw from Duval and Clay, or do you embrace them and almost hope that people are investing their time and moving their children into a Duval and a Clay County? Does that help do a couple of things to ease the congestion issue that you have, but also spread the wealth a little bit in the community?
Yeah, I think it does. And I would just, I'm really humbled that I get to serve as the president of the Superintendents Association this year. And in that role, we really talk about whatever's good for St. John's is good for Duval, is good for Clay, for Putnam, for Flagler, and everyone else. So I think we have to think more and more like one system across the state, where if it benefits us, how can it benefit you, and how can all families then have reap the rewards of a great educational system? We compete, but we compete to be the best that we can possibly be, and if we do, you know, you're going to lift all boats. You're going to do the things that make the system as a whole better.
The outgoing school superintendent in St. John's County, Tim Forson, will visit a little bit about what retirement ultimately will look like for your family. But before we get to that point, you know, in the long list of accomplishments that you could look at through your career in teaching and in education, there's always that longing for, I kind of wish. Is there that list as you've been reflecting on the last several years as superintendent and 40 years in education?
Yeah, I think, you know, I have a large family. I have six children, one that just completed high school, one that's still in elementary school. And so what I wish for is the ability to spend a little more time with her and spend time with the family that I didn't. I invested a lot in this career, as my wife knows and all my children know. So I look forward to an opportunity to have two grandchildren, to seeing them, traveling a little bit and doing all the things I kind of put on the shelf for a while.
Were there things in your tenure that you wished maybe you had the knowledge today at the time that you made that decision? And would it have changed any decision that you made as you reflect back?
I don't go back and look at, gosh, I should have made a different decision. However, the obvious one when you bring that question is everyone, not just education, but everyone experiencing the pandemic. I mean, we can all think we knew what we should be doing because we all said that at the time. But the reality is it was growing and learning for every system. And so while I think we did good things, I'm thankful for a governor that pushed us back into the schools right away. I think there are things that we, if I had to do it over, could have done it a little better and help more folks have success.
Is that a communication issue, or is it deeper than that, do you think?
Yeah, no, I think it's largely a communication issue, but it's also, you know, at the time, there was nothing to make that better because you didn't know. People didn't have complete confidence in what was happening around them. So the more support and the more understanding we could provide, the more our children were going to be able to navigate through that time. We're fortunate. Kids performed well academically right on through. We haven't shown much gap when you hear that discussion about a COVID gap in performance, but it doesn't mean it didn't impact children emotionally and mentally because we have had to work through children who missed those early years in the classroom or a year and a half about before they came back. So, you know, we're still investing in that. We'll continue to do so.
Did COVID teach an important lesson about being prepared for just about any scenario? And should we face another major issue on the horizon, the next superintendents of schools across the state of Florida may be better armed to handle things?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, as a former history teacher, I think we have to look back at things of the past and say, what could we learn from that? What could we do better the next time? I'm sure the next great challenge will be different, but at the same time, there's probably things to be learned looking back at decisions we made and timelines we kept to throughout this period of COVID being so active.
In this last month before you're winding down a career, as you're reflecting back, is there a class, whether it's a history class or maybe a student or a teacher, someone who you look at that's changed you for the better?
There's too many to name, honestly. There are so many individuals for me, because as I, you know, I said at the beginning, this is 45 years in this system, but I grew up in St. Augustine. I grew up in the community. So I feel so blessed that I've kind of been handed off, been given guidance and handed off and given opportunities that maybe not everyone had. And so it's just too many to name, but there are so many folks that have had an impact on me. But to your point, I think sometimes it's the students that had the greatest impact. You know, I taught a class called Law Studies for a number of years at St. Augustine High School, and what a great opportunity it was to see kids grow, learn, speak for themselves, and have their own voice. And some of those students still will find me and talk to me today about that experience. So, yeah, I'm privileged. I am. All the experiences that I've had.
With a young family and as young and healthy as you appear to be, retirement doesn't look like retirement the way that maybe your parents retired. So will you still be in the area? Will you be rooting for the St. Augustines and the Bartram Trails and the POA Academies and all the new ones that come on board, the OOOs and TTTs and all those unnamed schools?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be at the, you know, Friday Night Lights, wherever it happens to be, and I'll be following the others as well. The last 2 years, I've had the opportunity to follow girls soccer in our county, and we've had two state champions two consecutive years. It's just amazing to get to watch that from coaches and families and students that you know.
That's awesome. Best of luck to you. Do you have a rooting interest? I know there's an internal candidate, a couple of internal candidates in the list of finalists. Do you squirm a little bit when you see people answering the tough questions coming your way? How are you handling this transition process?
Yeah, I think the best thing that it is learning from my predecessor, Dr. Joyner, yeah, is we had a conversation before this ever began. And the right way to be is to be completely out of it. Absolutely. Don't offer opinion. Don't play a role in it. It is I'm just handing off the baton, and I'm going to do everything I can to make that smooth. What I know is there are four very highly qualified finalists in this, and that was exciting to the county because, you know, in the years following COVID, when there was so much political strife, superintendents were being fired or walking away at a rapid pace, so we weren't sure how many were going to apply, but we had 27 applicants. That's great. That's a great pool to work down from.
And while you're distanced from the process now, I think whenever someone is selected, will you then re-engage then on that handoff, if you will?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. As soon as that decision is made, and that decision should be made next Tuesday, May 20th. And so as soon as that is in place, that individual and I will engage closely.
All right, I'll give you the final word at 9:25. Tim Forson, your closing message to the community at large and to St. John's County.
All right. I think my message is just that schools and education are the most important thing we have. And while we have communities that are very complex and technology that moves students in a many different directions, I think relying on schools and relying on teachers are the key to the success of kids in the next generation.
Congratulations on a career well-earned retirement that is coming your way for your family, and we'll still see a lot from you in the St. John's County community. Superintendent of Schools, Tim Forson, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you coming in studio 9:25 on the Tuesday edition of Jacksonville's Morning News.